Sydney Writers' Festival returns on 22nd of May. Hundreds of curious, compassionate and insightful writers from around the world will gather in Sydney for Australia's largest celebration of literature, stories and ideas. They'll be sharing their wisdom, wit and knowledge at venues across the city. Join them from the 22nd to 28th of May. Tickets on sale now at swf.org.au. Sydney Writers' Festival, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Don't miss your chance to see the final episode of Just Words, recorded live at 107 Projects in Redfern on Thursday, May 18 from 7pm. 2SER is really excited to announce that Jeremy Jones from the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council will be joining us on the night as a live guest to debate the merits of 18C. Tickets are selling fast, so don't miss out. Buy yours today, and when you arrive on the night, you'll also go in a lucky door prize to win Audio-Technica headphones. Just head to the 2SER website, 2SER.com.
Yeah, that's right. Are you ready to fudge it and budget? You're on the Crystal 2SER 107.3. We've got a huge show for you this evening covering the use of taxpayer money. Labour shite or Labour light? Budget week takes off as coalition pivots to the centre. Winners and losers and what this means for you. That's what we're going to be talking about. And thy pea-filled cup overfloweth, treasurer to wade through shit in search of meth heads. Is he coming for you and your family? Shorten's response has the coalition stolen Labour's thunder, and when Latham attacks anger management candidate, boots himself from Labour to join David Lornahan's five minutes of silence, will it work out? All that and more. Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle 2SER 107.3 and 2SER.com. Big shout out to the Y Excellent Half Hour of Current Affairs. Got a huge show for you this evening. With you this evening is me, the Punditaker. We've got Starvin Marvin.
Hello.
Wearing the ankle bracelet. He's finally broken out of the budget lockup.
Just made it out, yeah.
We've got Bad Hombre. He's been deported thanks to immigration policy of Daniel Andrews.
So good to be here. Thank you.
And warm Les. He would love to be deported.
I'd love it.
And Corey Bernardi's evil twin complaining the media doesn't call him.
Hello.
A little bit too soon. It's certainly not too soon to talk about the budget. This week, the coalition obviously looked over the cliff of the last few years, looked into the abyss and realised it needed to pivot to the centre with what many are calling a Labour-light budget, big taxing, big spending. The debt emergency has gone the way of Tony Abbott. It's been completely knifed. Team, it seems like, unless you're dyeing-the-wall Labour types like certain people on this show, including me, it seems like it might be effective in arresting the decline of Malcolm. Warm lettuce, you were bathing in the budget detail this week. Got any insights on the big picture here?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that they tried to transition all the way, but as much as you try, you're never going to 100% get there.
So it's like a sex change, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's a bit like Bruce Jenner turning into Caitlyn Jenner. I mean,
this is the Caitlyn Jenner budget.
It's the Caitlyn Jenner budget, but you're not quite 100%.
Yeah, it's not entirely convincing, is it?
No.
And the driving is terrible.
No, it's not. But there was some very good spin with it, much like Caitlyn Jenner.
And
resurrection of her career.
Indeed. All the gold medals were won years ago as well. Starvin Marvin, one of the points in the budget was that this idea that the budget's going to return to surplus in 4 years. Rumours are that the Treasurer has been eating the mushrooms around Canberra and hallucinating stories on this. I mean, how on
every
earth?
Single budget is going to return to surplus in the fourth year, magically. I mean, perhaps the wizardry over there might be able to tell us how that was going to happen. But it happened last year. In the fourth year, it was going to return to surplus. It just you know, that's what the fourth year is easy because you're not in government, so you don't care. But I'd like to also mention that one reason why it might not is the $74 billion worth of infrastructure spending. One item that we found out was...
But that's off balance sheet. Come on.
No, it's not all off balance sheet. There's, you know, there's the airports corporate, you know, Western Sydney Airport. There's the rail link from Sydney to Melbourne.
That's enough
million
detail.
Dollars. But wait a minute. I've got a bit of detail for you on the rail, which will be interest to many of our listeners, that if you're going to Hornsby via from Wyong to Hornsby, on the train, you're going to be benefiting from $5 million worth of new telephone, mobile phone
towers. I'm sick of this paid ad from the Liberal Party. I want to hear
mobile phone towers, which you can listen to conversations and you can listen to Gristle.
I want to hear what the bad hombres south of the border think of this. And let's look at this debt issue. A few years ago, the Abbott government was talking about debt and deficit disaster, a budget emergency. Seems like they've turned the world upside down, isn't it, bad hombre?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys ever saw the footage from the budget, but there was this brilliant bit of footage where everyone but Tony Abbott was clapping at the end.
I saw that. Was
I think it might have been on Dastyari's Facebook page, and it had like, hello, darkness, my old friend, playing over the top.
It was so good.
and you just had this feeling of like, that man's not happy right now.
Indeed. Now, Corey Bernardi's evil twin, let's drill down into some of this detail. Medicare levy is to be raised. Now, you know, if Labor had tried this would be met with howls of class warfare. Why is the double standard? Why is there a double standard when the Libs do it?
Oh, well, I think it's because Labor's not going to come out and say, well, yeah, it's class warfare that people have to pay more for.
It's classy warfare. Yeah, right.
I mean, it's beating Labor at their own game. You know, the Liberal base will be very unhappy with the concept of paying for healthcare, but, you know, Labor's not going to come out and say, well,
paying for someone else's healthcare.
Exactly, paying for someone else's healthcare.
Now, but, I want to ask Warm Lettuce, of course, you know, even though the government's getting a lot of kudos for, what was that sound? For raising this levy in order to pay for NDIS and other matters, they are slashing the high income earner levy so that more money can go to the Cayman Islands. I mean, how are they getting away with this transfer?
Well, I mean, this is essentially what Bill Shorten's angry about, right? Everyone else has to pay tax. All the listeners to this very good radio station will have to pay more tax next year. But if you earn more than $180,000, which, if we're honest, is none of our listeners, you get a 2%.
Everyone here at 2SE earns big bucks.
There might
be a few alumni out there with $100 million.
Well, you'd like to think
maybe
so.
Gina Reinhardt even listens to
that show.
Indeed. Gina Fundus. No, they get a tax cut. So it is a bit unfair. I mean, I'm going to pay more tax. I think all of us on the panel will be paying more tax.
But I like paying tax.
I don't get enough to pay.
You'll be
tax.
Having your feces tested there, Starvin Marvin.
I'd just like to point out that given that we don't have a certain other member here that normally is here, that this was a temporary measure. It was a temporary tax repair. I mean, temporary budget.
So it was income tax when it first came in, wasn't it?
Well, you know, it's just that it had a sunset clause in it, and then it should be no surprise.
I'm pretty sure there's actually something like 12 levies that are still in place that have been, like, temporary levies for 20 years or more on, like, and all these other things. It doesn't mean anything. If someone's like, it's a levy, it means it's a tax.
All right. What about, let's skip rapidly through this before going to a break. Banks. A big tax on bank. Bad hombre. Everyone will be cheering from the rafters with this cornerstone of class warfare, but we all know that the banks are going to pass the buck onto the hardworking Aussie battlers of this country. Why won't the government stand up for Aussie battlers?
Well, that's not the question, really. it's such an interesting thing because you'd imagine what it would be like if Labor did come out and
it's
just another charge on consumers, another charge on everyone with a mortgage.
Great big new banking tax.
A great big new banking tax.
This was This is a budget that was made for Tony Abbott to just demolish, had Labor been the one that's
I know.
It, right?
So. Were you all thinking Tony Abbott's going to like strap some C4 and walk into Capitol unannounced? I mean, it just seems like this is the ultimate anti Abbott budget.
Kevlar.
Yeah, yeah. And then look, finally, and I know we're moving through rapidly, schools, extra bucks announced so that students can buy more weed, but uni students are remaining losers, and not just culture studies majors because of the cuts. Warm lettuce. How are the students going to react?
All right, so this is something that all our listeners might actually want to know the facts on. So they've already done the ANU has already done the numbers on this. If you add together the Medicare levy and the earlier repayments on your HEX and help debt and all the rest.
And your second year.
Once you're a graduate earning $45,000 a year or something like that, maybe it's closer to 50, I'm not sure the exact number, but they worked out it'd be about an average...
42.
42, all right. No, that's when the threshold
kicks
in.
It doesn't matter. The point is, when you're earning sweet FA...
NatSem from the ANU came out and said that the average low-income graduate on a standard graduation wage at anywhere other than maybe a lawyer will be getting $1,000 less in their take-home tax every year. So it's the equivalent to a $1,000 increase in their tax burden, which is quite a lot to put on someone who's just taken on a huge debt, who's trying to save for a house, trying to get into the housing market. And it's extremely unfair when, yes, they are giving tax cuts to people on over $180,000.
Isn't this just going to force uni students to marry their wealthy peers who live in the North Shore of Sydney? I mean, is this not social engineering 101?
I mean, I might have married into a Paddington household
perhaps it's going to get people to move to trades and other sort of apprenticeships.
So they can fix toilets in the North Shore of Sydney.
Well, that earns more money than a gender studies degree. Let's put it that way.
This is scandalous. All right, we're going to go to a quick track. This is Hannah Stranger coming up after the break. We're going to be talking a little bit more about foreign workers, NDIS, and my favourite, drug tests for all those bludgers, including all of us here on The Crystal. You're on 2SCR 107.3.
UTS is number one again. Ranked as Australia's number one young university for the third year in a row. Our students agree.
UTS is such a young and energetic university. It's encouraged me to consider new paths to be ready for my industry. I think UTS has a creative and entrepreneurial approach to learning that other unis don't have, and this will make such a difference to my future study and career.
Join us for a course info evening. To learn more, go online and search UTS Course Info Night. UTS, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Yeah, that's right. You're on 2SER 107.3 on The Gristle with huge panel, Punditaker, Starvin, Marvin, Bad Hombre, Warm Lettuce, Corbinet's Evil Twin, and some guy in a dressing gown and an ankle bracelet who somehow managed to get past security. Now, people are going to have to get past security a little bit more. Foreign workers taking our jobs now costs $5,000 with a new levy on people that want to work at 7-Eleven and service stations. Can be paid in cash or 7-Eleven credits. Team, this obviously comes on the back of the whiteout advert from Bill Shorten's office, which apparently wasn't passed through NatSec. Team, what's the story here? Oh, I should turn on your mics. Foreign workers. Is this going to play well? I mean, warm lettuce. Rumour at the mill is that it played well in the WA election. Could go quite well for Shorten nationally.
Well, I mean, like, I think it makes sense, but then it's probably all backfired with that.
That's because you're
that
white.
Was very white. But I did think it was funny when the Greens came out and then they were complaining about, like, oh, it's as subtle as a sledgehammer. And
do you mean the white, started white leaders of the Greens?
Of the usual Greens election advertisements or, like, you know, just the photo of every single Greens representative
yes, I know.
In the federal parliament who happens
that
to
should
be
called
white.
The whites.
Exactly. There's not a lot of colour in them at all.
My understanding with this ad is that it was only played in Queensland. Like, and like, the parts of Queensland where that's like an accurate demographic reflection.
Yeah.
Of those
where One Nation is stronger.
I thought it was
basically.
A beat up.
What's that's good stuff. I like that. That was good. I like that one.
Now,
someone has to defend it somehow. Yeah. Right?
Now,
listen, Punditaker, it's not just foreign workers, it's foreign anything in this budget. If you're a foreign investor,
if you're a foreign disease,
if you're a foreign, anything foreign, it's the budget of xenophobia. Anything foreign.
Xenophonia?
Well, no, but not necessarily. But do you think that perhaps, you know, the meeting that happened just before the election between President Trump, I know I'm bringing President Trump in here too early. Do you think it influenced the Prime Minister in any way?
No, I think they realised the fact that the white working class is pissed off when they see people who aren't like them taking their jobs is what influenced it.
But the investors have got hit as well.
NDIS, there's not much to say here apart from the fact that this is a solid Labor program that the Libs are bending over yet again to fund.
On what basis?
This is a Labor program, right? Which came in under Kevin Rudd.
But 2013. The Libs bending it over.
As in they are bending over and taking and basically having to suck up a policy they don't really agree with.
I don't know. The Libs have always agreed with it, with the possible exception of Colin Barnett. They've, you know, maybe not in the first 6 months when it was being drafted, but they've been pretty on board for a while, and now they're actually fully funding it. And I might be a Labor man through and through, but when we say, oh, we fully funded it, we didn't. It had a huge cost blowout. They're fixing it by raising taxes. To me, that's a pretty Labor thing to
do. I know. I personally think Labor should be all the way for raising taxes because it's harder to lower them. Let's just skip to the main thing I actually wanted to talk about tonight. Drug testing of welfare cheats like everyone here on the gristle. The Treasurer is going to be waiting. He's going to be personally sniffing like a fine wine everything that comes out of Centrelink customers across the country. I mean,
is that the Malabar outfall is where he's going to be?
The Malabar outfall,
out there
indeed.
In a little dinghy.
Indeed.
Testing things with a test tube and a white coat.
Indeed. And as they said, team, aren't we more on, well, finally, a representative of this Labor light has arrived. Now, we were just talking about drug testing. It's a great time for you to come in, Kroger's right hand. Surely, if Morrison wants to ping people for, as my friend says, sucking on the glass penis, shouldn't they go to the suburbs of the North Shore and Bondi? I mean, surely the drug use among the professional classes outweighs...
Don't call him surely.
I'll take this as an open opportunity to speak about the man who you mispronounced his name. Firstly, it's Scott Morris-Swan.
you heard it here from the Liberal right.
Number two, everyone's carrying on about this budget as like it's Chloe Shorten's necklace. Like
It's a pearl necklace.
Yeah, as if like it's like really important, but in actual fact, it's worth nothing. It's just like $25. Well, it's true. Like, you've talked about the budget, I imagine.
Mm. Yes.
So I was trying to tune in.
We're talking about drug testing of MPs. I mean, you know, some are wondering whether we should drug test MPs after this surplus
Jackie
forecast.
Jackie Lambie, I think, was the sum.
Jackie Lambie. Imagine drug testing Jackie Lambie.
Can I say, they have done the drug testing in the water before, as Kroger's right hand would know. And I think if they were to choose a trial site, they're trying to work out where do we do this drug testing. They would find that in the eastern suburbs of Sydney.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the Pennington Institute came out recently and said basically if they base it on where the highest drug concentration in feces is, it'll be rich, affluent suburbs where everybody's
affluent suburbs.
I've got an amazing idea. The imputation obviously is that the government is sufficiently concerned about the level of drug use from people using the welfare system. So if they legalise drug taking, they could offer reverse mortgages to all those stashes that are sitting out there. And the druggies can come
unlock
in,
the wealth.
They can
which
get
is
the discretionary
the
capital. Yes. Is that not a genius idea?
Indeed. There are people coming into the country that no doubt have their home deposit stuck up their ass right now. This is a brilliant strategy. The other thing on this is cashless debit cards are going to be expanded. Some are saying that these should be used in Canberra to control spending. Perhaps Scott Morrison needs one. Bad hombre. And let's actually move on to Labor's line of attack. I mean, Labor gets a lot of flack for being a big spender, but Scott Morrison, big spending conservative. How's Labor going to attack this?
Oh, I think you just sort of run that with a pretty consistent line that they've run with for the last few years, that it's like, well, these are the things that we believe in, you know, and even though it's, you know, they're going, oh, it's Labor light, it's not Labor. You know, I for the first time in my life went into the chamber when the budget was on, and you know, all the sort of classic lines of Medicare, education, Gonski, yeah, you know, all these kind of things are still the things that you're still going to talk about, and there's still enough in there in regards to what was $50 billion and now $65 billion
for the tax cut.
For the tax cuts.
Oh, no, scandalous.
You know, like it's you know, like Kroger's right hand man said, it is a bit of a like the status quo hasn't really changed.
But don't we love the status quo in this country, Starvin' Marvin? I mean, isn't that what we lust for? The status quo. It's like a happy marriage.
Do you think we yearn for the 50s and the,
well, I just think,
the
I think,
lucky country and the days of yours?
I think Australia just wants, I think like all people around the world, we just want to think that it's all going hunky-dory. Isn't that right? Kroger's right hand.
Well, I think one of the most important things about this budget is two things, what everyone's not talking about and what really wasn't in it or what I haven't heard about, and that is defence, number one, which is usually bipartisan, but this is one of the biggest ticket items for the coalition.
Yeah, but it won't matter because we'll be nuked, right? Let's go on.
We're having a submarine, so that's the main. That's
sorry,
all.
Go on.
Can I say that's not true, actually? The Liberals did make a big deal about finally getting to 2% of GDP expenditure on defence and 3 years ahead of schedule. So it has been a big ticket item.
Was that in the budget?
Yes, it was.
Well, how come the media didn't report it?
Because the media
we were tiring. We were tired.
Okay,
we
I'm going to say, right? I think we should let the Russian media into our country. And it's a good thing that the Fairfax media...
What sort of videos have they got on you, Kroger?
The other thing was the refugees. There's no mention about bad stuff for the bad people.
That's because they're all narrow. Look, we are going to go to a quick message from one of our sponsors and come back and talk about a little bit more of the budget and Donald Trump and Mark Latham. Stick around, you're on 2SR on 7.3.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and a venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18. You can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle 2SER 107.3. And just for this final part, we're going to be talking a little bit. We're going to segue somewhat into even more pressing matters of national interest. When Latham attacks, Mark Latham, Liverpool's favourite son, decided to jettison himself, even though he actually wasn't a member, from the Labor Party to join David 5 minutes of silence, Lionhelm, I can never say that.
Lionhelm.
Out the back for a bit of man-to-man preference swapping. Team, is this going to go down well or just go down?
Well, look, as a Victorian, can I just say Latham first and foremost as a West Sydneyan? And like everything this guy's done, even when he was Labor leader, is just like, quintessential Western scene is like, ah, yeah, houses, great, cost of living, brilliant, you know. So, and I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that he's done in recent times.
Yeah.
Like, he goes out to what I assume are sort of quite multicultural areas. So, like,
with the, yeah.
And so he uses as empirical evidence, he'll speak to four people who are just startled that they're talking to me like, so do you go to Liverpool much? No, I just kind of stay here. Yeah. and then sort of like, it's like, well, you know, I went to the other place. They integrate a bit more, but as you can tell, These people, they just stay in their own area. And
yeah. I know, yet we all wish Latham would stay in his own area. Someone had a really good comeback about that, which is, if Mark Latham approached you on the street, you would act like you don't speak English as well, which I thought was quite funny. Craig's right hand, do you see this ending well for David Lionhelm?
It will if he can get one of his other mates on board, which is Ross, because the news
Cameron.
Update with Roscoe, yeah, is that there was a fight mounted by his brethren over in Parramatta against his ousting from the Liberal Party to bring him back in. And I believe that action fell on deaf ears.
This is the guy who wanted to replace the Sydney Harbour Bridge with a replica of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, right? This is Ross Cameron, right? Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to point that out.
He's the man who should be Governor General, yes.
Now,
so he's got a friend in Ross, so he should join the Liberal Democrats.
Indeed. You know, funnily enough, I was thinking Clive Palmer should join as well, because he has discovered the Gase defence. I don't know if anyone saw this. He suddenly lost a lot of weight.
He's looking good, isn't he?
He is. I hope he continues with his haiku.
And his poetry is just amazing.
Oh, really? It is. Oh, no, it is. It is. Look, finally here, we've got a few minutes where we might talk about the big, big story, comb over Comey, FBI gets it in the eye, as Donald Trump gets 10 out of 10 for obstruction of justice. Donald Trump fired the head of the FBI this week, a few days ago, citing his incompetence and unfair treatment, was it? I think of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that was the official excuse. I don't think he's even trying anymore. Tell him it was Hillary.
I know.
No problem.
Tintin's just walked in.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, you know, you don't. Whoever on the internet today is the Nixon Library, who posted that, what was it? Hey, fun fact, even Nixon didn't fire the FBI.
Yeah. The Nixon Library Twitter account was
trolling. Well, that was J. Edgar Hoover, wasn't it? He wouldn't dare fire him.
I would love to see Trump and J. Edgar Hoover at, like, a Halloween party. That would just be sex on a stick.
Comey's 205 centimetres tall. I saw it on the Wikipedia.
Is he?
He's a very tall guy. Like, I didn't realise, because you only sort of see him sitting down in those show trials.
Yeah.
But then, then you see him shaking hands and you're like, this guy must have been, like, just a baller playing sports.
Yeah,
school,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so how do you see the comb over?
He's an interesting guy as well. He worked at a hedge fund called Bridgewater Capital, and their modus operandi is they basically criticise the shit out of everyone. So it's, apparently he's brought this into the FBI.
So how?
And it hasn't worked well.
So how do you go from being an investment banker to being in the FBI?
I think you go by being a GOP supporter. I suspect it's a seamless, smooth transition. Warm lettuce. Thoughts about the mail? Is it just another cyclone in America, and we'll get so used to it that we'll be like, oh yeah, who cares? It's another one.
No, I think this is actually probably the first thing that's going to do him damage, because not only has he fired the FBI director, the replacement has come in and basically disputed the entire White House account. Just days after Comey was fired, saying, yep, all these things you've said about his staff not liking him, we disagree with that. It's caused a headache. Comey himself is being dragged before a Senate inquiry next week, but he's no longer bound by working as a public servant.
So take me down, and another will take my place.
Because it's
why didn't he get Agent Mulder to be head of the FBI? No idea.
Scully.
No, Scully, yeah. Go for Scully.
Look, I'm going to get serious. There is, a reasonable alternate explanation for this, and that is a gross politicisation of the forces that are there to protect all Americans, and they're using their pedestal to attack Trump and ultimately have him removed from his office.
Isn't that because
that would be good, except for the fact that every single government security agency and national intelligence office has all confirmed that there was collaboration between the Russians and trying to influence the election, including four different private surveillance companies that agreed on the same thing. So if there's politicization, it's on Trump's part, not on the Democrats.
Last thoughts from Bad Ombre before we...
Right. So, I mean,
You've got about 15 seconds.
Thanks. So I guess sort of the question I was going to raise is, if you're a Trump supporter, what in terms of what's happened is actually going to have changed your mind? Like, I don't think anything has yet.
I think you need Donald Trump to pee on you, which is something that Gay Panic may or may not explore. Stick around for those guys, and we've got a quick message from our sponsors. There's some great programming here on the station, and coming up after our message from our sponsors, Anthony Naples at Ease. Stick around, you're on 2CR 107.3.
This year's Sydney Writers' Festival is bursting with talent, including some of the literary world's brightest and most respected names. Festival guests include great Irish novelist Anne Enright, 2017 Pulitzer Prize winner Colson Whitehead, New York Times best-selling author Roxane Gay, acclaimed author George Saunders, and Pulitzer Prize winning writer Susan Faludi. May 22-28, info at swf.org.au. Sydney Writers' Festival, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.